The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and it dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of our God, the source of all life, all love, and all light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So I have something to share with you today. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Are you ready? Jesus was undeniably a faithful Jew. All right? Is anybody shocked by that? Some people walk around thinking that Jesus was not Jewish or that he was Christian, right? Yeah, but that's okay. He was actually a very faithful Jew. And let me tell you why. When asked which was the greatest commandment, Jesus responded by quoting the Shema. Shema in Hebrew is the word hear, like to hear. And it's because the Shema begins with that word. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." It comes from the book of Deuteronomy. In Judaism, the Shema is used as much as we use the Lord's Prayer in Christianity. So that means a lot. They give it a lot of weight, all right? And during Lent, many of our services begin with Jesus quoting the Shema in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus said, "The first commandment is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these.'" In essence, the Shema is saying to love God with your entire being, with every breath, with your entire life. That's what it means in essence. And there's a very important word in the Shema that is used over 1,000 times in Scripture and is the most popular anthropological reference in all of Scripture. And that is the word heart. Heart. We have a doctor over there, so I'm sure he's appreciating the fact that we're talking about the heart today. And Valentine's Day was a few weeks ago, so we have to talk about it at some point, right? Heart in the Jewish world means the center of a person's being, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually as well. It's at the very core of a person. Anytime the heart is mentioned in sacred texts, you know that it must be important because the heart is vital to all of life. The heart makes an important appearance in today's Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah. I had to resort to the Old Testament for today's reflection. The gospel was kind of dismal, and so wasn't that psalm, just a little bit. So I'm like, where's the good news in all of this? I found some, all right? In today's passage from Jeremiah, it says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The line comes after the people of God are really questioning the existence of God in some ways because of their desperate situation. They were just invaded by the Babylonians who assaulted Jerusalem and reduced the temple to rubble, exiling or killing the royal family, the priests, the prophets, and the majority of the population. Broken families would have been ravaged by grief and loss. Those left behind would have had to have scrambled to find surviving relatives and even a place to sleep if their homes were destroyed. I think the most current example of their situation is that in Syria right now. It's an absolutely horrific situation there. And I can imagine that they were facing something similar in the time of Jeremiah. The people Jeremiah is speaking to in today's lesson are walking around in great despair and hopelessness. Some of us can probably relate to that at times. And it's up to Jeremiah, who is called by God as a prophet, to relay to the people God's assurance and love. The God who formed humanity out of the soil, the God who created the Garden of Eden to give life to the world, is the same God who is going to permanently restore them, who is going to constantly recreate them and nurture new life for them. And that promise, that new contract that God makes with them, that covenant, to use religious terms, will not have to be taught to them. They won't have to learn it. They won't have to memorize it, because God is going to permanently etch it onto the core of their being, their hearts. It's just going to be a part of who they are, this promise that God is making. And that same promise God makes to each and every one of us. The most significant part of who we are, the part of us that we use to show our love to God and to those around us, is precisely the very place God writes a promise to love us, to care for us, to renew us, to remake us, to be with us forever. Given all the negative messages we hear day in and day out, some of those messages are directed toward us, some are directed toward others. Given the state of our politics in our country, given the state of our lack of security, given all the war-torn areas of the world, given all the stress that each one of us carries day in and day out, we need to remember the promise that God is making, the promise that God has written on our hearts, that promise that He will be with us forever, and nothing can remove that. And we need to remind and show others around us through our words and actions that God will never abandon them either, even when God feels very distant. So as you came in, you received a heart. Not that your heart needed to be replaced, but it's a foam heart. I invite you to pull that out, and if you don't have one, maybe the ushers can come by. Does everybody have a heart and a pen to write with? If you don't have one, if you don't mind raising your hand, and we will assist you with hearts. Back there, there's some in the back pew over there. Okay, perfect. I think we're good. So I want you to spend a few moments in reflection. Oh, we need some over here. Not that you're heartless or anything, but so yeah, take out your hearts, the foam ones. Although we do have a doctor over here, he could probably do open heart surgery for us if needed. And I want you to spend a few moments in silence to listen to the God who is deep within you. And what are the words of affirmation, of hope, of promise God is relaying to you right at this moment? And then literally write that on the heart that you've been given. And then take that home with you. And you may need to refer to that from time to time when you're having one of those days. You need those words of affirmation. So I'm going to give you a couple moments to reflect on that and jot something down. Words of hope, affirmation, words of promise. And you don't have to share these, so write whatever God is calling you to write. So I want you to imagine that God is literally writing those words on the very core of your being. And in addition to those words, may you hear God's voice through the prophet Isaiah when he says, "Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Amen.